puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time again for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
What will we be discussing this week?
Well, longtime listeners know of my fascination with grain elevators. From an all-time high in the 1950s of about 700 elevators in Manitoba, most of the wooden elevators today are used by local farmers or are abandoned, having been replaced by massive elevators made of concrete, what I call the concrete giants. We are now witnessing a new phase in the evolution of the grain elevator, where some of the smaller giants are being closed in favor of even larger ones.
So when did the concrete elevators begin to be built?
Well, this may surprise some listeners, but they started to appear over 100 years ago. The record for the oldest surviving concrete elevator in Manitoba is held by one in Transcona, here in Winnipeg, that was built in 1912 by the Canadian Pacific Railway. Now, we talked about that elevator in a previous episode of Abandoned Manitoba. It is still standing, but is no longer operated, and I fear that it may be demolished in the near term. Old concrete elevators still being used include the one at Dugald Road here in Winnipeg, completed in 1928, and the one at the Port of Churchill, opened in 1931. But the present era of concrete elevators began in 1961.
1961. What happened?
Arguably, the concrete elevators in Transcona and Churchill did not begin life as what we call a country elevator, meaning one to which farmers deliver grain. The distinction of the first concrete country elevator in all of Western Canada belongs to Swan River. In 1961, the Winnipeg-based Gertz Construction Company convinced the Searle Grain Company to replace its wooden elevator at Swan River with a much larger one made from steel-reinforced concrete. It stood 130 feet high. It had a capacity of 100,000 bushels of grain, several times larger than most elevators at that time. Unfortunately, this innovative elevator is now gone, having been demolished back in 2008.
And what's your take on this, Gordon? Are concrete elevators better than the wooden ones?
Oh, yes, for several reasons. First of all, a concrete elevator is immune to the single most common cause of the destruction of wooden elevators, and that's fire. Concrete is durable. It doesn't rot, it doesn't rust, and it requires less maintenance over a possible lifespan of, well, more than a century if we go by those old elevators from 1912. Concrete is stronger than wood, and therefore it's better suited to large capacity elevators. And then there's also a variety of societal changes that, starting in the 1950s and 60s, also favored large concrete elevators.
What were some of those changes?
Well, by the 1960s, Manitoba's highway network had much more paved mileage than in the past. Previously, it had been mostly gravel, so it was becoming more feasible for farmers to operate large trucks to transport their grain from the field to a distant elevator. At the same time, railway companies were beginning to abandon small, unprofitable branch lines that had lightweight rails incapable of supporting the heavy hopper cars that were gradually replacing boxcars as the standard method for transporting grain. Numerous small country elevators were abandoned when their rail line closed. But perhaps most significantly, in 1983, the government of Pierre Trudeau eliminated the Crow rate, under which the Canadian Pacific Railway had provided reduced rates for grain shipments for most of the 20th century. Grain companies argued that at one time, a grain elevator that handled 200,000 bushels in a year would be economically viable. But by the 1980s, an elevator required an annual intake of at least 1 million bushels, five times more. And to achieve this level of throughput, you needed a large elevator.
So what is the oldest surviving country elevator made of concrete?
I consider the granddaddy of concrete country elevators to be the one at Elm Creek, inasmuch as it started the trend towards replacing small wooden elevators with much larger concrete ones. Built in 1976 by Cargill Grain, its initial capacity was 460,000 bushels, or about five times that of the first concrete elevator at Swan River. Through the years, it has been augmented with steel tanks, so its present capacity is about 700,000 bushels, but this is considered small by modern standards. The largest concrete elevator in Manitoba today has a total capacity of nearly 5 million bushels. The Elm Creek elevator was also historically significant from a construction standpoint because it was built using a technique called slip form. That's where the forms used to hold the wet concrete are gradually raised as more concrete is added to the top. And as a result of this technique, the entire elevator can be poured in a few days of around-the-clock work.
Okay, so this all makes a lot of sense, and it's truly fascinating. But where does the abandonment come into this week's story?
Well, just as the first generation of concrete elevators led to the closure of wooden elevators, we are now seeing a second generation of concrete elevators that may kill some of the first generation ones. Today, what seems to determine the fate of a concrete elevator is the size of its spot.
Its spot?
This is a railway term for the number of cars that can be left on a separate track beside the elevator to be filled with grain. In the old days, wooden elevators typically had a spot of less than a dozen railway cars. Nowadays, even if an elevator has ample storage capacity, if its spot is too small, it is not cost-effective for the railway to return several times a week to take away cars that have been filled and deliver empty ones. Grain companies are being pushed to have elevator spots with enough room for what railways now call a high-efficiency train. That is, a train that is 1.6 miles in length, consisting of at least 134 hopper cars. The early concrete elevators have too small a spot for these high-efficiency trains. And that's where we get to abandonment in this story, in a concrete elevator on the northwest side of Winnipeg.
So what's its story?
Well, in July of 1987, a new concrete elevator opened along Highway 221, about 4 miles east of the village of Rosser. It's within eyesight of the perimeter highway. Built with the slip form method, using 2,600 cubic yards of concrete and 170 tons of steel rebar, the elevator had a capacity of about 244,000 bushels. It was a large elevator for its day, but its spot measured only about a half mile. 2 years ago, its owner, Viterra, announced plans to build a larger elevator nearby. It opened in June of this year, and its capacity is 1.25 million bushels, many times higher than the old elevator. More importantly, though, the new elevator has an absolutely huge spot. It can load 156 hopper cars. In other words, one of those high-efficiency trains on a loop track that measures 1.6 miles that surrounds the entire elevator. Meanwhile, the little elevator, relatively, its doors have been boarded up. And although the company has announced no plans, I would not be at all surprised to see that elevator demolished. Even though it's only 35 years old, that elevator is a victim of the same go big or go home phenomenon that has doomed so many wooden elevators before it. Today, instead of 700 small wooden elevators all over southern Manitoba, we have about 60 concrete ones, mostly spread far apart. And in future years, I suspect we will see, quite literally, the fall of the concrete giants as the smaller ones are demolished.
Absolutely changing the landscape and what some of in Manitoba has known as part of the landscape for such a long time. I'm curious, Gordon, if you can give us a hint about next week's episode.
Well, we're going to stay on the theme of grain elevators because I want to discuss some wooden elevators that celebrated their 100th birthday this year, thanks to some good folks who were at the right place at the right time.
Okay, well, I cannot wait for that 100th birthday celebration and to celebrate it with you, Gordon, next week. Thanks so much.
We'll talk then. Bye-bye for now.
Puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.